reading to you from Matthew, the 26th chapter, and with the 12th verse. For when she poured this perfume upon my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done shall also be spoken of in memory of her. Good evening, my dear listening friends. It's Evangelist Cecil Nolan. As you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Christ ever since. Friends, keep praying for our new broadcast over in Pennsylvania. You know, there's a lot of Amish people over there. They're good working, hard working people, but they're strange, and their theology is not exactly the way ours is. You know, if you don't tell people that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, you're not telling them the truth. If you don't tell them about John 3:16, you're not telling them the truth. Well, that's what we're called to do, and that's what I try to do. No, I've made a lot of mistakes, and I've not always done everything that God wants me to do, but I've sure tried. Well, listen, I'll be with you for half an hour. Won't you kick off your slippers, sit back, and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea and a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Well, friends, I've labeled this Elijah the Man. Now, the Bible tells us that he was a fearless reformer. He had the nerve to rebuke kings. And I read in 1 Kings 2:19, "Then the men of the city said to Elijah, 'Behold, now the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord sees, but the water is bad and the land is unfruitful.' And he said, 'Bring me a new jar and put salt in it.' So they brought it to him." Then I read in 2 Kings 2:11, "Then it came about, as they were going along and talking, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, which separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind to heaven." Well, the Bible tells me that God takes the foolish things of the world to confuse the wise. Now, this man was a mighty man of prayer. No, he wasn't infallible. He was divinely honored by being taken up into heaven, not tasting death. But Elijah is a humble man, and let's see if we will let us interview him. "Hey, Elijah, could I have a few words with you? My name is Cecil Moe, and my wife and I will be working a prison out here. The reason that we're working out there, because the state of Colorado fired all their paid chaplains. So it's up to us as volunteers to keep up the work." "Well, I'm having some problems tonight." "Elijah, when they spoke to you and told you to go hide in Kerith Ravine, east of Jordan, what did you do?" "Well, I went." "Well, Cecil, when God speaks, best we listen. It's the way that he said it. He would take care of you. Must have been a big surprise, wasn't it? He told you, 'Drink from the brook,' and he ordered the ravens to feed you." "Well, Cecil, we didn't have McDonald's in those days where we get Slurpees." "Well, the Bible tells us that the raven brought you bread and meat twice a day. Is that true?" "He did." "How'd you feel when the brook went dry?" "Well, you know, Cecil, when God closes one door, he opens another. The Lord then spoke to you and told you to go to Zarephath and to meet with a widow woman who would supply you with food." "That's right." "Well, what happened after you met the widow woman?" Well, I asked her for some water and a little bread. That's right, and she informed me that all she had was a little flour, a little oil, and a jug of water. Well, I assured her that the Lord promised that as she would feed you, the oil would not go dry and the flour would not run out until the Lord gives rain on the land. But Cecil, a strange thing happened. The widow's son took sick and died. She said to me, "What have you against me, this man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son?" Well, I carried the boy upstairs to his room, laid him on his bed, and I cried out, "Oh, Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him." The Lord heard my cry and brought him back to life. When I took him down to show him to his mother, she said, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." The moral of this story is, I received my orders from Almighty God, and he did everything he said he would, and beloved, that's true today. The modern day Christian have the word of God and the hundreds of promises he has made, but few believe him. That's why there are so many defeated Christians in the world today. That's why churches are struggling today. Few Christians tithe, which places a curse on them. Cecil, excuse me, I didn't heal that young boy, God did. Elijah, I have a question. You no doubt have heard of our modern day namer and claimers, preachers. What do you think? Well, Cecil, no man can command God to do anything. Really, the one thing that God has to do is save a person if he truly repents of their sins and receives Christ as Savior. See, so we have a bunch of false prophets in our days. You have many more. Their healing is just a vehicle to raise money. Take your prayer clause. That's a way for the ministry to get you on their fundraising mailing list. By the way, Cecil, have you ever been healed by God? I sure have, Elijah. When I was attending Bible college in Riverside in 1958, I had a lung tumor. Doctors gave me up to die. But Jesus healed me, and I praise his name. However, Cecil, God is not obligated to heal you unless it's according to his will, that's for sure. Also, Elijah, this namer and claimer also say the only devil sends us sickness. That's not true, Cecil. God many times sends sickness into people's lives to bring them to repentance. Elijah, what happened when you were aware of the prophets of Baal? Well, Cecil, I appeared unto King Ahab, and I commanded him to summon the false prophets of Baal to a honest and goodness showdown. Elijah, you must have been taking a lot of courage to order King Ahab around. Cecil, when God gives you orders to do something, he will see you through it. Look at Moses at the burning bush. He sure didn't want to go down to Egypt to bring the children of Israel to the promised land. He used every excuse he could think of. Cecil, let me point out one thing. God has always taken the foolish things of the world to confuse the wise. God has even used a jackass to speak to a prophet. So, as I see it, there are hopes for all of us. Elijah, I have a jackass, but he didn't preach and doesn't preach. One more thing, Elijah. When you met with those 450 Baal worshipers, prophets, weren't you a little bit nervous? No, Cecil, because I knew God was the true God. You let them go first, and, well, they prayed, they screamed, they cut themselves with knives, trying to get Baal to bring down fire from the heaven. They jumped up and down on the altar, but nothing happened. Elijah, didn't you kind of jive them when you said, "Perhaps Baal is on a vacation"? Well, kind of. But Elijah, when they finished their show, you repaired the altar, poured water over the bullock, poured the trenches full of water, and then, Elijah, you prayed the most powerful prayer I've ever heard. "Oh, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are the God in Israel, and I am your servant, and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so that these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again." You know, Elijah, when that fire came down out of the heaven and burned up the sacrifice, the wood and even the stones, and also licked up the water from the trenches, the people fell prostrate and cried. The Lord said, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Did you know what? There was a little boy in the Sunday school class one time, and the teacher said, well, now, why did, when Elijah got up there, why did he pour water all over that thing? And, well, he said he thought, little boy said he thought maybe Elijah wanted to make gravy. Well, that may be true. And then you commanded the false prophets to be seized and brought them to the Kishon Valley where they were all slaughtered. Elijah, what happened when Jezebel heard what happened to the false prophets? Well, see, so she threw a hissy and sent a message to me saying, My, may the gods deal with me, but it even so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that one of them. Well, Cecil, I took off like a herd of turtles. She was going to do me in. Well, where did you go? Well, I went to Beersheba in Judah. I left my servant there and went another day's journey into the desert. You know, Cecil, I was so discouraged, I prayed to die. But, Cecil, the Lord was not through with me yet. I slept a couple of days, and the angel of the Lord said, Get up and eat, for you have a long journey. It will take you 40 days and 40 nights to reach Horeb. Friends, let me ask you this. Are you one of those people that are discouraged tonight? You go to church, nothing ever happens. Nobody gets saved. Nobody rededicates their life. It's just business as usual. Now, let me ask you this. Are you part of the fault? You say, what are you talking about? Well, are you part of the fault? Are you not praying? Are you not going? Are you not giving? These are things that God expects of His children. And if you got unrepented sin in your life, you need to tell Him about it. Why? Because He said if we ask Him to forgive us, He will do it and forgive all of us, all our sins. He wants to hear from you, beloved. When is the last time you talked to Him? When is the last time that you told Him that you loved Him and that you wanted to be a servant of the Lord? You know what? I wished I could sit here tonight and tell you that I was a great soul winner and I'm a great preacher. I wished I could do that. I can't do that. But I am called to encourage Christians to get off their premises and start standing on their promises and get out and do something for Jesus before the rapture comes. And beloved, it's coming. When? I do not know. The Son of Man does not know. God knows when that rapture, when it's going to happen, when Gabriel's going to blow his horn. And he's going to appear in the clouds and say, with outstretched arm, and say, Come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Tonight you say, Cecil, I'm about to lose my home. And I lost my job already. We don't have but just a few dollars in savings. I don't know what we're going to do. Have you told Him about it? You say, well, He knows about it, but have you told Him about it? Have you talked to Him about it? Have you discussed it with Him? Have you told Him you're discouraged? Have you asked Him for help? You have not because you ask not. I'm not telling you like this preacher down in Texas said the other day. God has released me from preaching on salvation and preaching on prosperity. That's the biggest farce there is in the world. There is no prosperity Christianity. God may bless you with finances. I'm not saying He won't. I know one time, dear friends, when I was truly broke and I borrowed $1,200 to start a business in the early 70s here in Denver, Colorado. Inside of 3 years, I was making $1 million a year business. I had new trucks. I had equipment. That was because God did it and because I was obedient unto the Lord. Now, you say, well, you know, you made a lot of money. What'd you do? Well, I'll tell you what I did. I produced a film against all hope. It's cost thousands of dollars. And I wrote a book, and that cost thousands of dollars. And then there was another book written. That cost thousands of dollars. And I traveled to Mexico, I traveled to Alaska, and I traveled to the Caribbean and Honolulu, and Japan to preach. Where do you think that money came from? It came from my business. See, I didn't feel right being in business, but my stars, I used to be gone 5 weeks at a time in revivals all over the country, all over the United States. Was it because I was a great preacher? No, because I worked cheap. I have never put a price on my preaching. You see, I can understand why. Well, maybe I can do. But seriously, I absolutely, they'd say, how much, Brother Moore, do you charge to come for a week or 2 weeks revival? I said, there is no charge. I said, God knows our needs. And if you're walking with the Lord, he will see that we're taken care of. Now, I never, ever, well, I take that back. Only one revival that I made that I got tremendous amount of money. I got $800 for a week's revival. But you know, friends, it takes money to travel. I had a big motorhome. I traveled it. That thing was a gas guzzler if I ever had one. But you see, God was pleased what I was doing. And then I'm trying to train laymen and laywomen in evangelism. I take them to church after church after church, weekend after weekend. And those men begin to win souls. They begin to testify of God's grace. Oh, listen, friends. God wants to use you. You say, I'm a zilch. I'm just a dot in our church. Well, you know, friends, I've told this story. I'll tell it again because it's worth telling. Years ago, I was preaching in Pennsylvania. And there was a poor lady that belonged to that church. She was poor, and you could tell she was poor. And she invited me and the pastor to come home to her house for lunch that particular day. We went, and I don't think that house ever saw a paintbrush. It was a shack, but the inside was spotless. I mean, she had her little crocheted doilies and braided rugs. It was just so clean, and oh, my stars in the morning. What a meal that dear lady put out. I was so touched by it. I went back to the church that night and I said, friends, I tell you what, you guys are missing a blessing. This dear woman, she is a chef. She's not a cook. See, I went to cooking school. I know what it was to cook, a Chinese cooking school. But I said, that woman is one of the greatest cooks I ever saw. You ought to have her cook the meals in your, when you have your Sunday nights or Saturday night or whatever they had, services, food. They did. And that little lady just began to blossom. She began to blossom because someone showed a little love for her and a little concern. That's what I want to do for you tonight, friends, is just encourage you. Let you know that God wants you to be happy. Some people think that God sits up in heaven with a ball bat and pops you up alongside the head every time you make a mistake. If that's the case, we'd be banged on the head every 5 minutes. We do make mistakes. But God wants to use you. Why don't you tonight, why don't you get down on your knees and have a little talk with Jesus and say, Lord, Cecil's right. I've been feeling sorry for myself. I know I don't have much in education. I know I'm not very good looking and maybe my clothes aren't the best. But, oh, God, I don't care. If you can use me, I'm available. Oh, my stars in the morning. You watch things happen. Pray for souls. Pray for holy boldness. Say, oh, God, fill me with your blessed Holy Spirit. Endue me with power of mine eye. Give me holy boldness and give me souls for my hire. Elijah was a brave man. You have to be brave to go before the rotten old Jezebel. Did you know she caused more problems than any woman in the whole Bible to the Lord? One time, her husband wanted Naboth's winery or raised grapes. And so what did he do? He went over and told a big lie about Elijah, about Naboth, and they took that place from him, and he said, now here, you can have all the wine you want. Oh, what a woman. Well, Cecil, I hid in a cave, and word of the Lord came to me and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? I told him I have been very zealous for the Lord and the Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with this sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me. The Lord told me, I have 7,000 whose knees have not bowed down to Baal. Elijah, you're an incredible man. You were used mightily of the Lord, and you never tasted death. You were caught up in a flaming chariot. Elijah, here in prison we have Christians and non-Christians who many of them have many, many years left to spend here. What would you tell these men to encourage them? Well, Cecil, the first thing I'd tell them is to repent of their sins and receive Christ as Savior. For the Christian, get into God's holy, unerring word and start serving the Lord with all their heart and their soul, because Jesus is coming back to rapture His church. They need to be ready. Friends, I'm asking you, are you ready tonight? You say, Cecil, look at, well, I tell you, I heard a story from the Dalles the other day. Couple been going to church for a long time. And finally, one night during a revival, they got saved, gloriously saved. See, friends, and I know this to be true, and maybe this is you. You accepted the Lord. You said you accepted the Lord when you was 10 or 8 or 9 or 14 or whatever. And it meant something to you at the time, and then you followed the Lord, New Testament baptism, and then you joined the church. But something just really wasn't right. And then one day, God's Holy Spirit got a hold of you and said, hey, Bill, Jim, Jack, Pete, here, this is what you have to do. And that's what this couple did. They'd been playing a game with the Lord. Are you playing a game with the Lord? Are you trying to get to heaven by just belonging to a church or getting baptized or reading your Bible, praying, or going to Sunday school? That's all you got to do? Friends, I'm telling you what. If your churchianity, do you have churchianity or do you have Christianity? Now, there's a difference. You can go to church, but boy, I tell you, God wants more than you going to church. He wants you to work outside the church. Now, these two ladies I talk about quite a bit, Millie and Marie, they work in rest homes. They're called of God to do it. It's a very important job. No, they're not going to get patted on the back very often for it. And some of those dear old people will go to sleep on them while they're talking to them or while they're praying with them. But that's okay. His word will not return void. So I'm so happy for people who will take what they have. You may not be, but have one talent. And I'll tell you why you've only got one. Because you haven't invested and tried to develop other talents. The more you serve the Lord, the more you study God's Word, the more you witness and go and are available, the more God's going to give you. And I'm not talking about money either. Well, Elijah, thank you so much for allowing us to talk to you. When I get to heaven, I want to come over to your mansion and spend a few trillion years talking with you. Oh, yes, Elijah. Tell my mom and my dad and my two brothers and my two sisters I'll be seeing them someday. Oh, friends, listen. God is a gracious God. Right now, He's tugging at your heart. Oh, He wants to come into your heart. He wants to give you peace, joy. Let's pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, for that man, that woman that's got a tugging at their heart tonight, your Holy Spirit's drawn their hearts, and they don't know what to do. But Lord, I pray right now that you'll open our hearts. Now, friends, listen. If you don't know Jesus and you have that tug, I want you to bow your head to me right now. I want you to pray this prayer. It's the most powerful prayer you'll ever pray in your lifetime. Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you forgive my many sins. I'm sorry, Lord, for my wayward life. And Father, I'm opening my heart right now and receiving you as my Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, I'd like to have you get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down right and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. I'm concerned where you spend eternity. Listen, Elijah was a great man. You can be a great man. You can be a great woman for Jesus. But you gotta surrender. Now, if you'd like to give me a call and you can't afford it, call me collect, okay? Friends, for the past half an hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear ones, for listening. Please pray for me and my wife as we go to prison, and pray for our new broadcast in Pennsylvania, that God will give me the strength and the health to do it. I need to get some books printed up again. Friends, I tell you right now, if you think it's cheap to be a preacher, I got news for you. If you're doing something, I don't want to sell anything. I want to give it away, because I don't want anyone to miss heaven because of my greed for money. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Oh, keep looking up. Please don't be discouraged. Talk to the Lord about your needs. He's concerned. Like Peter said, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Okay, dear friends, good night. May God bless you. Real, real good.